Well, good morning, everyone. It's truly a blessing to be here this morning again. Thank you, Melvin, for those thoughts that you shared. The thought of God being the same God that He is today as He was thousands of years ago is really a blessing and encouragement. Thank you for that prayer. I think I might just go right on into what I have here. So what I'm going to be sharing about comes from my own ponderings, my own Bible readings, study, personal time. And it's just my thoughts as I was reading. I considered some of Israel's history, some of what the kings and the prophets and all that, as reading through from 1 Samuel to 2 Chronicles, along with the prophets Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Isaiah. And it kept coming back to me how as faithful as God is how many times He sent the prophets. It says He rising up early and sending them. They wouldn't hear. The kings, just time after time, they'd go their own way. They'd choose to follow the idols of the Canaanites, who they had just conquered, the gods that the Canaanites served had just proved themselves weak, and yet they went and served them. So my question was, why did that happen? Why did they continue to go that way? And also, what is going to keep the church from going that direction as well, just continuing to follow our own way? So I don't have the answers for those questions by any means, but there's one aspect I'd like to look at here, and that is looking at how one generation prepared for the next generation to take over. So the first example I have is out of 1 Kings 12. 1 Kings 12, 25 to 33. So we'll start in verse 25 here. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and high priests of the lowest, and made priests to the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel. And he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. So here we see somebody who's worried about his own kingdom. He's worried about his people. They're going to go serve the king of Judah. And instead of pointing them to God, instead of directing them in the right way, he makes these 2 gods. He turns to man. It says he had counselors. I don't know what kind of counselors he had there in verse 28. But they weren't very wise counselors. But they told him to make golden calves for the people. And God was very displeased with this, and he judged Jeroboam severely for that. But the thing that I wanted to bring out in this is how every Israelite king after Jeroboam served those idols. There were some, like Ahab, who served Baal and served other gods, but everyone served those two idols. Even Jehu, who went and it says that he served God, he obeyed the voice of God and destroyed the Baal worship, he destroyed Ahab's family, and yet he still went and served these idols of Jeroboam. And so that's how Jeroboam prepared for the future. He was going to make sure that he had a kingdom. The next example I want to look at was King Hezekiah. And first I want to read in 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5. And so Hezekiah was a godly king. It seemed like he had a heart to serve God. In 2 Kings 18:5 it says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like unto him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. So it's a tremendous compliment that he had there. But it seems like after his sickness there in 2 Kings 20, it seems like maybe he was a little bit careless. And so in a lot of ways, Hezekiah prepared for the future in that he, in a good way, he cleansed the temple, he destroyed all the idols, he destroyed the groves, and whatever all it says there. But it says here, I was going to read 2 Kings 20, from verse 12 to 19. At that time, Berodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present unto Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them, and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver, and the gold, and the spices, and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them not. Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah, and said unto him, What said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, They are come from a far country, even unto Babylon, even from Babylon. And he said, What have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, All the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house, and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day, shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then, here in verse 19, Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, Good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. And he said, Is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? So here in a way it seems like Hezekiah maybe didn't have a concern for the generation following, for the people coming after him. His kingdom, he wasn't too concerned for their well-being. And I don't know what he was thinking there. It seems like even with this severe judgment that was coming, he was okay with it as long as he had peace. And I've wondered if that isn't why Manasseh turned out the way he did, why Manasseh went the way that he chose to go. The Bible here says that Manasseh, Hezekiah's son, filled Jerusalem with innocent blood. And we read in, I'm not going to read it here, but in chapter 21 it says that he pretty much went and did everything, set everything right back up that his father had torn down, all the idols, all the graven images. He just went and set it right back up. And I had to wonder if it was because of his father's lack of preparation for him. I mean, I understand that Manasseh could have just chose to ignore all the teaching his father gave him. But I have one more example out of 1 Chronicles 28 and 29. This example is David preparing the temple. It's a little bit more encouraging. So first of all, I want to jump in here in 1 Chronicles 28, verses 9 to 12. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. So he had drawn all this up. David had put a lot of energy into preparing a blueprint for the temple, getting it all ready for Solomon to build. And I know, I'll just leave that. So he got this all ready. And something else that stood out to me here is in verse 9. It says, know thou the God of thy father. David is telling Solomon, his son, he was my father. But just because he was my father doesn't make him yours. And so he's passing that on to his son. Then I want to read chapter 29, verses 1 to 9. And here we see a little bit more of the amount of energy and resources that David prepared for the temple. Because he was concerned about the glory of God. He was concerned that this temple thing would just fall away and that God would not receive glory from it. Chapter 29, verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, and the palace, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, which the rulers of the king's work, with the rulers of the king's work, offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. So I just read that to point out the amount of preparation, the amount of energy and resources and that David poured into preparing for the house, because he was concerned that the next generation wouldn't just drop it, that it would go on. And we know David maybe didn't do everything right in his life, but this was one thing he was concerned about, that God's temple, God's house would be built. And I find it interesting that how much he prepared. In verse 2, about it says all he prepared, but then it says in verse 3, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good, of gold and silver, So that was not just what he prepared, but it was of himself. Things that were his personally that he could have been spending on himself that he was dedicating to God. And David also, in doing this, became kind of a standard for the kings of Judah, how that often the kings were, it said, whether or not they served God with a whole heart as David did. So I'm not going to get very practical with all this, but my question was, how am I preparing for the next generations, for the future generations? What am I doing to give them a head start? Am I pouring energy and resources into building God's kingdom like David did? Or am I content if I make it myself and it's okay if they don't? So that's all I have. God bless you.